Good afternoon, everyone. Apparently, the customer really knows best. Spelled N-O-S-E. In the Netherlands, McDonald's restaurants there have debuted a revolutionary way to turn customers on to their iconic burgers and fries by launching the world's first billboard that smells like their food. We'll explain. In the headlines on the update this Thursday, New Jersey, they've been hit by yet another aftershock, more than 45 of them to be exact, following last week's 4.8 magnitude earthquake, including one that rattled the Garden State yesterday. We'll have the latest details. There's no way around this one either. New Jersey commuters will be shelling out a lot more to come into Manhattan, whether by train, bus, or car starting this summer, as New Jersey Transit agrees to a fare hike. Epi Mizuhara, who was fired by the Dodgers, of course, back in March after being accused of stealing millions of dollars of Shohei Ohtani's money to cover sports gambling debts, is now in negotiations to plead guilty to federal crimes, according to a New York Times report. And in Philadelphia, a joyful celebration of the end of Ramadan devolved into panic after rival groups exchanged gunfire, leaving at least 3 people injured and hundreds of parents and children to flee in search of safety. This is the update, Thursday, April the 11th, 2024. Every city has a story. And in New York City, there just happens to be a lot of them. From the Tommy Lynn stage, this is the update with Brandon Julian. A 3-time winner of the Kingsborough Community College Gold Student Service Award. It's everything that you need to know, because anything can happen in New York. Greetings and salutations to you all, folks, every last one of you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the update on a Thursday. A Thursday that features rain in the forecast, once again. Because, you know, we can't seem to just shake it off. And this rain features thunderstorms in the nighttime hours, but it should clear out by the time Friday afternoon comes along. And then next week, we have a couple of gems right in the middle of the week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Temperatures in the 70s as we prepare for spring break. Though it's worth noting that Wednesday night does have a couple of evening thunderstorms in there, just so you know. Officially, now we're on the road to spring break. It's about a weekend change away. And, you know, life seems to keep throwing those curveballs at me. I'm not sure if you could tell from the sound of my voice, but when I was at camp over the weekend, I magically caught something on the way back here that impacted by me coughing up mucus. So Mother Nature, you know, works in some strange, strange ways, you know. I'm Brandon Julian, of course, folks. We appreciate you so much for being here, wherever you may be and however, of course, personally, that you may be listening to us. Lots of news, of course, to catch you up on. We are going to begin this Thursday's proceedings with the latest on the earthquakes and the aftershocks that have been felt here in the tri-state area. New Jersey, they've been hit by more than 45 of them in aftershocks, following last week's 4.8 magnitude earthquake, including one that rattled the Garden State yesterday. The 2.6 magnitude quake, the 46th aftershock, hit near Gladstone around 10 yesterday morning, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. It was felt by just under 80 people, according to the USGS. Three more tremors were reported on Tuesday, with magnitudes of 1.3, 1.4, and 1.5, according to NJ Advanced Media. There were also four aftershocks reported across Hunterdon County on Monday, including one that came just as the sun was reemerging from the moon's shadow, according to the Philadelphia Inquirer. Now, on to some of the other news of this Thursday, and we're going to go up to the state capitol in Albany, where towns and villages across the state that have post-prohibition bans on alcohol sales will be forced to lift such restrictions under a bill that's moving through the legislature. The bill, which is set up for a state Senate vote after advancing out of a committee last week, would strike down a 1934 law passed right after prohibition that allowed towns and cities to opt to stay dry. Many communities across this country fully or partially ban alcohol sales. Pennsylvania, for example, has about 675 that have some sort of restriction. Here in the Empire State, only 7 communities have complete booze bans, according to the state liquor authority. The largest, the western town of Canonita, is home to about almost 2,000 people. The bill's sponsor, they argue that lifting restrictions will spur business growth and save those who live in such places from having to buy their booze elsewhere, allowing them to enjoy a glass of wine with dinner at local restaurants. Here in the city limits, 13 young Hasidic Jewish community members, they all pleaded not guilty to the charges connected to the damage of a wall in a well-known Brooklyn synagogue that led to an caught-on-camera fight during an arraignment yesterday, according to a report. The young men appeared in court on charges including criminal mischief and obstructing governmental administration, while another 4 defendants were absent because they were in Israel, their lawyer told the New York Times. The defendants were forced to turn over their passports, but are still allowed to access the synagogue, according to a judge who ruled on the matter, according to the paper. You may remember the cops, they clashed with rogue members of the synagogue, armed with shovels, who were digging a secret tunnel under the religious institution back in Crown Heights in January. The young rebels made the move because higher-ups were dragging their feet on expanding the synagogue's sanctuary, according to sources they said at the time. Back in Albany, two conservative political operatives who orchestrated a robocall campaign to dissuade black people from voting in the 2020 election have now agreed to pay up to $1.25 million under a settlement with the state, according to Attorney General Tish James. The operatives Jacob Wohl and Jack Berkman were accused of making robocalls to phone numbers in predominantly black neighborhoods in Ohio, Michigan, New York, Pennsylvania, and Illinois. It told people they could be subjected to arrest, debt collection, and forced vaccination if they voted by mail. The automated recording told potential voters in the lead-up to the election, quote, "Don't be finessed into giving your private information to the man. Stay safe and beware of vote by mail." Wohl and Berkman pleaded guilty to felony telecommunications fraud in Ohio back in 2022. The pair were sued back here in New York in 2020 by a civil rights organization, the National Coalition on Black Civil Participation, along with people who received the calls and the state attorney general. An attorney for Wohl and Berkman did not immediately return a voicemail, so you can comment. Back on the streets of Brooklyn, there was a freak accident when an 87-year-old woman was killed when she was mowed down by her own car. The elderly woman thought she parked her blue 2013 Toyota Corolla in a driveway, but she left the sedan in gear just before 3 o'clock in front of a home in the Gravesend section on West 10th Street, according to the NYPD. A spokesman said, quote, "When she walked behind the vehicle rolled her over." Police were called to the scene where they found the wounded victim with severe head and torso injuries. EMS rushed her to NYU Langone Hospital, Brooklyn, but she could not be saved. Cops did not release her identity last night, pending family notification. To Long Island we go now, over in Brownville, where a Long Island doctor who was headed to upstate to see the solar eclipse with a family fell out of a moving trailer on a highway and died, according to the authorities. A 58-year-old Dr. Monica Roanika, a pediatrician at Stony Brook Children's Hospital, who specialized in immunology, was riding in the 2024 Airstream trailer along with members of her family on Saturday for the last 20 minutes of their trip to see the eclipse, according to the New York State Police, they said in a press release. Woronika's husband, Robert Woronecki, was driving the pickup truck that was hauling the trailer. According to the police, the wind blew the trailer's door open as the family headed west on Route 12E in the town of Brownville, and Woronika was thrown from the trailer. She hit her head on the shoulder of the road. She was taken to a nearby hospital where she died. It's worth noting that it's against state law to ride in a house coach trailer, such as the family's Airstream, while it's hitched to a vehicle traveling on the road. Meanwhile, it seems in the great state of Jersey, commuters are about to get hit with a double whammy. Not only is the congestion pricing going into effect in June, but if you ride New Jersey Transit, you're going to be subjected to a fare hike. And there's no way around that one either. Commuters will be shelling out a lot more to come into Manhattan, whether by train, bus, or car, starting this summer. The board of the cash-strapped New Jersey Transit, they hiked fares for its railroads, bus routes, and light rail lines by 15% yesterday, beginning in July, as officials are seeking to patch a massive hole in the agency's finances. The move comes as officials in New York pressed ahead, of course, with imposing a congestion pricing, the $15 daily toll on drivers, beginning as soon as June, which Garden State politicians have been arguing will unfairly hit commuters crossing the Hudson. The local bus fares will be bumped from $1.60 to $1.80. Interstate bus fares from Jersey City to the Port Authority will jump from $3.50 to $4. And a one-way train ticket from Princeton Junction to New York Penn Station will soar from $16 to $18.40. To the state capital in Albany we go now, where the city of New York is going to move to end its contract with a medical services company that was hired to house and care for a recent influx of international migrants, following scrutiny over the firm's costly deal with the city and the quality of its humanitarian services. Mayor Adams's office on Tuesday said that the city would not renew its contract with DocGo before it expires on May 5th, and will instead search for a new housing provider for migrants. DocGo, which previously worked with the city to provide COVID testing, was awarded a $432 million no-bid emergency contract last year to help the city manage a massive new population of migrants. The arrangement, though, was not without its controversies. It drew questions from city comptroller Brad Lander, who, in reviewing the contract, determined that there wasn't enough detail to justify the cost. And it also wasn't clear how the company had the expertise to transport, house, and feed thousands of migrants. News reports from the New York Times and the Albany Times Union also detailed mistreatment of migrants under the company's care, including issues with health care and food waste, among other things. Its chief executive officer also resigned after he admitted to lying about his educational record. And finally, we're going to go up to the Bronx, where the NYPD says that the mother of the five-year-old twins that were found vomiting and foaming at the mouth after they were smothered to death inside their apartment last year has now been indicted in their murders. 42-year-old Gloria Asamoah is being held in the psych ward. Nearly 4 months after her son and daughter, George and Gianna Cantanka, were found lifeless on the living room floor inside of the family's unit on East 175th Street near Weeks Avenue in the Mount Hope section, according to Chief of Detectives Joseph Kenny telling reporters on Tuesday. Kenny said at the media briefing at the time, quote, This time we have an arrest warrant for Mom. She's back in the psych ward. She's not free to leave at any given time. She's there until doctors just clear her, and at that point she'll be taken into custody by the NYPD. She's already been indicted for multiple counts, felony charges, including murder, times two for both children. She was not yet in custody by late yesterday. Time for us to step aside momentarily. When we return on the update this Thursday, we have a few important messages to tell you from the MTA. Gonna talk some sports and talk about how Shohei Ohtani's ex-interpreter, Epi Mizuhara, is now in the crosshairs of the federal government. We'll tell you the latest on the investigation. We're gonna talk together the latest national news. In Philadelphia, that joyful celebration of the end of Ramadan developed into panic after rival groups exchanged gunfire, leaving at least three people injured and hundreds of parents and children to flee in search of safety. And at the end of the broadcast today, the customer really does knows best. It's spelled N-O-S-E. In the Netherlands, those McDonald's there, they've debuted a revolutionary way to turn consumers on, to their iconic burgers and fries by launching the world's first billboard that actually smells like their food. Gonna talk about this on this Tuesday where, yeah, it's rainy, it's gloomy, it's everything that you don't want. But there is some light coming for next week. Temperatures in the 70s for most of next week as we are approaching spring break. So on this Thursday, we're going to talk about this and a lot more too, of course, folks, when the update Brain and Julian returns in just a moment. Brain and Julian. You know, folks, if I were to do something, if I would accidentally combine something, most people would consider it a mistake. But other people actually do these things on purpose. You know what that's called? Criminal intent. This is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
They are our cuddlers and co-workers, purr machines and love bugs, and constant companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life so much better. When we face unexpected challenges in life, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people who love their pets and the pets who love their people, ensuring these families stay exactly where they belong, together. And you have something to offer. With an open heart and mind, there is nothing you can't do. There's no gesture too small or too big when it comes to helping. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. You can help keep pets and people together. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
From New York, the V stands for value. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies, it's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
Through early 2024, Manhattan-bound 7 trains are skipping 111th Street and 82nd Street Jackson Heights because of station improvements. For nearby service, use a Flushing-bound 7 train or use the Q32 or Q48 buses on days and evenings along Roosevelt Avenue. Through the summer of 2024, Manhattan-bound J and Z trains are skipping 75th Street, Eldards Lane, and Woodhaven Boulevard because of station improvements. For nearby service, use the Q56 bus making stops along Jamaica Avenue. The New York City Police Department would like to remind you to keep your belongings in sight and to stay aware of your surroundings. If you see something suspicious in the station or on the train, tell a police officer, an MTA employee, or use the Help Point intercom in stations. MTA crews are here to help us get around. Let's treat them with respect. Assaulting a New York City Transit employee is a felony, punishable by up to 7 years in prison. The fare on local, limited, and select bus service is $2.90, with the exception of the BX18A, BX18B, B60, M116, Q4, Q4 Limited, S46, and S96 Limited. Transfers on all other lines must be requested upon payment of the cash fare. For the S79 Select Bus Service, pay your fare on board the bus. For all other Select Bus Service routes, pay at the kiosk outside and hold your ticket for the duration of your trip. The fare on express buses is $7. Coins are not accepted as a payment on express buses.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
So, Mets and the Braves were supposed to be going at it down in Atlanta, but it seems just like the beginning to the Mets' season, it seems to be cursed with rain. The third game of the 4-game set was postponed because of the weather that's now in our area. The game will be made up all the way in September at 7:20 p.m. on the 26th. The Mets, of course, took the first game of the series 8-7, and the Braves took the second game 6-5. Right-hander Alan Winans, who had been recalled on Sunday, will... He had been scheduled to start last night, but instead he'll start the series finale today. The Mets will start left-hander Jose Quintana. Mets also put Kodai Senga on the 60-day injured list. Nothing is... it's just a responding roster move. Met manager Carlos Mendoza says that there's nothing wrong in his Senga's recovery. Up north in the Bronx, Yankees and the Miami Marlins going at it. The Marlins are the only team so far that have a worse record than the Mets in the National League East. Jake Berger hit a 3-run homer on his 28th birthday. Happy birthday, Mr. Berger. And the Marlins beat the Yanks 5-2 for just their second win all year long. Ryan Weathers allowed 3 hits and 3 walks in 5 scoreless innings for Miami, who at 2-11 had matched the team record for the worst 12-game start that was set back in 1998. 1998, by the way, was the season right after the Marlins had won the World Series. Weathers got his first big league win in almost a year since defeating the Mets for the Padres on April 11th last year. The Yanks dropped to 10-3 as the Marlins stopped the Yanks' 4-game winning streak. Giancarlo Stanton homered in the 6th off of Ryan Howing for his 3rd homer in 5 games and his 4th of the year. His home run, Stanton's, was also his first against the Marlins, his original team, of course, and now he's homered against every club in Major League Baseball. Not always sunshine and rainbows in MLB, because Shohei Ohtani's ex-interpreter is now in the crosshairs of the feds. Epi Mizuhara, who was of course fired by the Dodgers last month after being accused of stealing millions of dollars of Shohei Ohtani's money to cover his sports gambling debts, is now in negotiations to plead guilty to federal crimes, according to a New York Times report yesterday. TMZ, citing law enforcement sources, reported that Ohtani was the victim of fraud and had no knowledge of the scheme that cost at least $4.5 million of the Dodgers superstars' money. According to the Times, the investigation run by the L.A. offices of the IRS's Criminal Division, the Department of Homeland Security, along with the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Central District of California, is nearly over. It found that Mizuhara may have changed the settings on bank accounts so the two-time MVP would not get any notifications about the transactions that were being made. A bit of a shrewd move. And from the diamond, let's go out to the hardwood. Nets and the Raptors are going at it in the season finale at Barclays Center. Cam Thomas, he had 23. Dennis Schroeder scored 15 of his 21 in the fourth. And they rallied, the Nets did, to beat the Raptors 106-102. Nick Claxton added 14 with 11 boards and 5 blocked shots. And Noah Clowney had 10 and a career-high 7 blocks for the Nets in their final home game of the year. They finished 19-22 at Barclays Center, which is a losing record. Emmanuel quickly scored 32 for Toronto. Grady Dick added a career-high 24. Wild weather happening across the country, steady rain, and even a tornado down in the south. The Arizona legislature is devolving into chaos while they discuss the proposal of a repeal of the state's newly revised 1864 law that criminalizes abortion throughout the entire pregnancy, unless a woman's life is at risk. And federal fishery managers, they voted to cancel all commercial and recreational salmon fishing off the coast of California for the second year in a row. Gotta talk about this because national news, it is next for us around here, of course, when the update Brandon Julian continues. But first, ladies and gentlemen, we do have to inform you about the following. Where has the time gone? I really hope that I didn't write that line. Did I write that line? Well, maybe I actually did. We're now celebrating 7 years of this program. 7 long news-filled years. My producers, who look for any excuse to hold a celebration, are having one every weekend as we go into the update archives to play you an episode from throughout the many years of this program. And then on the weekends, also once a month, we'll play an episode from my list of personal favorites throughout the many years of this program, as I explain to you why that particular episode is one of my favorites. So every weekend, dig into the update archives with us to remember where you were when this particular episode aired. And then once a month, the list of my favorite episodes as well. Keep listening on the weekends because it'll be a party that you will never forget. Unless, of course, you can't actually remember it from, well, you know, the night before. You know, as I was growing up, my mother told me to always wipe my feet on the mat before I go into the studio. Well, Mom, this one's for you. There's a lot more show to stick around and listen to as the update of Brandon Julian. We'll be right back after these messages. From New York, only a rental and only $5 a day. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
When it comes to a gun suicide attempt, all it takes is a moment.
My son, Ricky, took his life by the use of a firearm. It broke me, and I contemplated suicide. My grandson, I was going to have to be here for him. I still own my firearm. I keep it in a safe because I want to keep my grandson and myself safe.
Store your guns locked, unloaded, and away from ammo. Hear more safe stories at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council. When it comes to a gun suicide attempt, all it takes is a moment.
Heather and I had an argument just like any other couple. I was lost. I had snapped. I had a gun and I was going to take my own life. Heather helped me realize that there was still a life to live for the better of myself, my family. My weapon is now safely put away.
A moment of crisis can happen to anyone. Store your guns locked, unloaded, and away from ammo. Hear more safe stories at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. You know, every day, folks, in this studio, while I give the news to you, I ponder sometimes the questions of the universe that many people wonder and want answers to. Like, for example, why can't I wear white after Labor Day? I bet you never thought of that one, huh? This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a Thursday, everyone. One step closer we are, yes, to the weekend. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. You know, let us talk together right now, of course, the latest national news. And we're going to begin in the city of brotherly love in Philadelphia, where a joyful celebration of the end of Ramadan, it devolved into panic yesterday after rival groups exchanged gunfire, leaving at least 3 people injured and hundreds of parents and children to flee in search of safety. The annual Eid al-Fitr event, held outside a large mosque in the city's Parkside section, came to a sudden end when some 30 shots rang out at about 2:30 in the afternoon, according to the Philadelphia police. 5 people were later taken into custody, including a 15-year-old boy who sustained leg and shoulder wounds when he was shot by police and taken to the hospital by an officer, according to authorities. Police said that he was also carrying a gun. Additionally, one man was shot in the stomach and a juvenile victim had a wound to the hand. In other news, we're going to go down to Slidell in Louisiana and talk about the weather, which we only address on this program, as you know, when the weather is bad. And it definitely is out there. Severe storms that have been blamed for a death in Mississippi. They spawned a tornado that demolished buildings in one Louisiana city yesterday, while inundating the streets in low-lying New Orleans with hours of steady rain that snarled traffic and strained the city's antiquated drainage system. Severe weather stretched across much of the Gulf South with reports of damage from Texas to the Florida Panhandle. More than 30,000 homes and businesses were without power last night in Louisiana's Tammany Parish, where a tornado struck the city of Slidell, which is about 30 miles northeast of New Orleans. It ripped the roofs off of buildings and partially collapsed others in and around the city of about 28,000 people. Authorities said that first responders had to rescue people trapped in one heavily damaged apartment building. Out in the American West we go now to Phoenix in Arizona, where the legislature there devolved into shouts of shame, shame, as Republican lawmakers quickly shut down discussion on a proposed repeal of the state's newly revised 1864 law that criminalizes abortion throughout pregnancy unless a woman's life is actively at risk. The state Supreme Court cleared the way, on Tuesday, for enforcement of the pre-statehood law. Arizona abortion providers vowed yesterday to continue service until they're forced to stop, possibly within weeks. State legislators convened as pressure mounted from Democrats and some Republicans, including the former president, for them to intervene. House Democrats and at least one Republican tried to open discussion on a repeal of the 1864 abortion ban, which holds no exception for rape or incest. GOP leaders who command the majority cut it off twice and quickly adjourned for the week. Outraged Democrats erupted in finger-waving chants of shame, shame. Further west in nearby Los Angeles, a woman who authorities say fatally stabbed her partner at their apartment on Monday, then threw her 2 children from a moving SUV onto the freeway, killing her infant daughter, was an astrologer who called the impending solar eclipse, quote, the epitome of spiritual warfare, in an online post days earlier. LA police believe that 34-year-old Danielle Chernika Johnson posted on X as an astrology influencer and recording artist with the moniker Ioka in the days leading up to the violence, which began hours before the eclipse peaked in Southern California, according to Lieutenant Guy Golan. While detectives have reviewed Johnson's post, police are not considering the eclipse to be a precipitating or contributing factor to the slayings because, quote, we just don't know why she did what she did, according to Golan, who told the AP yesterday. And finally, federal fishery managers, they voted yesterday to cancel all commercial and recreational salmon fishing off the coast of California for the second year in a row, and only the fourth time in state history because of dwindling stocks. The unanimous vote by the Pacific Fishery Management Council, the authority responsible for setting Pacific salmon seasons, is a blow to the state fishing industry that supports tens of thousands of jobs and is still reeling from last year's shutdown. Salmon fishing was also closed in California during the 2008 and 2009 seasons. And like last year, this year's decision was made in order to protect California's waning salmon populations after drought and water diversions resulted in river flows that are too warm and slow for the state's Chinook salmon to flourish. A report back in February by the Fishery Council found that last year, just over 6,100 fall-run Chinook, often known, of course, as king salmon, returned to the upper Sacramento River to spawn. The average between 1996 and 2005 was more than 175,000 fish. For the time being, the ban affects commercial and recreational ocean fishing. However, the council has recommended that the California Fish and Game Commission consider barring river fishing as well. The state agency is expected to vote in the next few weeks. People and customers, they really knows best. In the Netherlands, McDonald's restaurants there, they've debuted a revolutionary way to turn consumers onto their burgers and fries by launching the world's first billboard that smells like their food. Gonna talk about this, because your honorable mention is next, when the update of Brandon Julian continues.
Substance use disorder and addiction is so isolating. And so, as a Black woman in recovery, hope must be loud. It grows louder when you ask for help and you're vulnerable. It is the thread that lets you know that no matter what happens, you will be okay.
When we learn the power of hope, recovery is possible. Find out how at startwithhope.com. Brought to you by the National Council for Mental Wellbeing, Shatterproof, and the Ad Council.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian, I don't know, folks, if you've had this same thought as me, if you've ever graduated high school, but have you ever scrolled on your social media and you see the announcements of the people that you went to school with, and you hear those pregnancy announcements, and you look at them, the person, and you're like, they got pregnant? Like, no. This isn't right. That can't possibly be. And that's not to be mean in any sense of the word, but really, there are people you come across, you just look at them, and you're like, how? How could that possibly have happened to them? It doesn't make any sense. I don't know why he's talking like this. This is the update with Brandon Julian.
available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to the update, Brandon Jillian, on a Thursday, everyone. One step closer we are to the weekend. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. You know, we have just enough time left today, of course, folks, for your honorable mention. Honestly, it really does feel like wherever you go to, when you go to an eating establishment, that the customer really knows best. This time we're talking about N-O-S-E, best. That's because those good people at McDonald's there in the Netherlands, they've debuted a revolutionary way to turn consumers on to their iconic burgers and fries by launching, quote, the world's first billboard that smells like their food. A Golden Arches reps described in a statement this week about the aromatic advertising initiative, quote, this is the first time that a billboard has been used to diffuse the McDonald's scent. I mean, at first glance, these logo-free red and yellow billboards, which were installed in Utrecht and Leiden, evoke sculptures from some minimalist modern art movement. However, when the pedestrians pass about within 15 feet of these Spartan structures, they are greeted by the distinctive scent of McDonald's fries. Think a supersized scratch and sniff, just minus the scratch. McDonald's, they shared footage that shows these fast food fans gathering around these Mordorian-like monoliths as they try to guess the smell. One passerby inquired, quote, is it McDonald's? Well, another surmised that it smells like a Happy Meal. Meanwhile, a third hit the nail on the head, exclaiming, the French fries from McDonald's. So a question you might be wondering is, how does one capture the complex aroma of Golden Arches gastronomy in a giant rectangle? Well, a McDonald's employee installs a tray of fries into the billboard, which relies on the state-of-the-art ventilators to suck and diffuse the scent. And voila! Customers, they get a feast for the nose. You see, while this campaign might seem like a Willy Wonka-inspired gimmick, there's good reason for having customers follow their schnoz. At least that's what McDonald's representatives are claiming. Stijn Mentrop-Huslien, the chief marketing officer for McDonald's Netherlands, says, quote, smell has been proven to be more effective at sparking clear and emotional memories than images. With the inclusion of this next sense in our advertising, we found a new way to remind people of good times at McDonald's. In accordance, of course, these olfactory salt licks are strategically placed within 600 yards of a McDonald's so customers can follow the scent trail to the source. I mean, say what you want about McDonald's as a company, but they don't pay those advertising execs how much money for no reason. Because they come up with smart stuff once in a while. But really, speaking of McDonald's fries, like I said before, those fries are incredible. For what, about 8 minutes? And then they turn into something that's not likely biodegradable? Have you ever put McDonald's fries in the microwave, folks? They become packing peanuts. It doesn't stop you from eating them, though. You're like, yeah, your fries aren't even good anymore. Yeah, how about yours? Yeah, yours aren't good either. Fries can't get cold. Shakes can't get warm. You ever leave a McDonald's shake out for an hour? Reality sets in. It's like, oh, like, this isn't even made from milk. It's like some sort of chocolate mucus. Well, I said, we all... Just, I can't. I'm going to let you guys ponder on this, as we say in the words of Walter Cronkite. That's the way it is. Thursday, April the 11th, 2024. That's the update on this Thursday. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you being here with us. Excuse me. In the next episode of my favorite episode series, we're going to go back into year number 2 of this program and delve into a very important moment in the Donald Trump presidency when he took us out of the Iran nuclear deal. We'll talk about that on Saturday, of course, wherever you listen to this podcast. So until you don the windbreaker and the poncho to get ready for the rain and the wind, but also get ready for the warm sunshine that'll follow. In the words, of course, of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hopefully the UR News folks will be good news. I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck. Be safe. And most importantly, folks, please be well. And honey, put on some Megan Thee Stallion, because this audience in this studio put me in the mood tonight. One step closer to the weekend and also spring break. It'll be here right before you know it. Let's talk about that a lot more too, of course, folks. When I see you right back here tomorrow as we get ready for another weekend out here in the big city. See you then.